Mr. Speaker, my response will also address related questions by Ms. Sylvia Lim, Mr. Louis Chua, and Ms. He Ting-Ru from yesterday and today, as well as a written question by Mr. Abdul Muhaimin Abdul Malik, scheduled for tomorrow's sitting. Sir, Singapore upholds high regulatory standards in our financial system aligned with international standards. It is one reason why many investors view Singapore as a trusted financial hub. Like other global financial centres, having high standards does not mean there will be zero cases involving entities and individuals who break the rules or who fail to comply with our regulatory requirements. What is key is that where wrongdoing is identified, the authorities will investigate thoroughly and take firm enforcement action in accordance with the law. The money laundering investigations by the police against Chen Zi and related associates are ongoing. Enforcement operations were conducted on 30th October 2025. Arising from the enforcement operations, the police have issued prohibition of disposal orders and seized a range of assets, including properties, cars, bank accounts, and securities accounts. Prior to the indictment of Chen Zi by the US, our police had been conducting probes into Chen Zi and his associates. Thus far, MAS has identified two single family offices or SFO funds granted tax incentives that are linked to the sanctioned individuals. MAS has seized the tax incentives. As investigations are ongoing, I seek members' understanding that I'm not able to comment further on the details at this stage. Based on available data, over the past 3 years, about 3% out of 1,300 applications were rejected. Besides the rejected applications, some potential applicants also withdrew their interest to apply before submitting a formal application when questions were posed and requirements were clarified at the pre-application stage. As part of the tax incentive application process, individuals and entities are screened against databases to check that there are no reports on their involvement in illegal activities such as money laundering and terrorism financing. The SFO fund is also required to open and maintain an account with an MAS licensed bank and be subject to the bank's customer due diligence and ongoing monitoring checks, including detecting any unusual or suspicious transactions. MAS regularly reviews and refines its regulatory regime. It consulted on proposed changes to the SFO regulatory regime in July 2023. In addition to now requiring all SFOs based in Singapore, whether they are receiving tax incentives or not, to maintain bank accounts, SFOs will need to notify MAS upon the commencement of their operations and submit annual returns to MAS. The returns supplement MAS's ongoing surveillance efforts to maintain the integrity of our financial system. MAS and the financial industry will continue to review our surveillance and detection capabilities. But we need to adopt a sensible and calibrated approach and should refrain from a knee-jerk overreaction when cases happen from time to time. Similar to all major international financial centres, it is not possible to have zero incidents given the complex nature of the financial services industry and the high volume of daily transactions. In addition, combating financial crime requires a global effort, as illicit fund flows are often cross-border in nature. In the Prince Holdings case, the US seized US 15 billion in bitcoins, and the UK froze 19 properties. It was announced yesterday that Hong Kong and Taiwan have also recently moved to seize substantial amounts of assets and have made arrests. All major financial centres have to remain vigilant and work together to combat financial crimes. Sir, SFOs linked to individuals convicted of money laundering offences represent a very small proportion of the overall sector, at less than 1%. We have to remain open to bona fide family office and genuine investors to continue growing our financial services industry and creating good jobs for our people. As at end 2024, the wealth management and private banking functions in banks employed more than 13,000 locals, and high net worth clients also use other service providers such as legal and tax advisors, fund administrators, and accounting firms. Compared to other financial centres, many industry stakeholders already consider Singapore to have more stringent due diligence standards for high net worth clients. If we were to tighten further to the point where the processes become overly cumbersome, it will affect our competitiveness, deter legitimate investors, and put many local jobs at risk. This is not the outcome we want for Singapore. There's a Chinese saying that when we open the windows, some flies may also enter. The solution is not to shut our windows and block out sunlight and fresh air. What matters is that we act swiftly to deal with the flies that enter while also letting in sunlight and fresh air. This is the approach we take in Singapore: risk proportionate, not zero risk. MAS will continue to take a risk proportionate approach to maintain our status as a trusted financial center. MAS expects our financial institutions to do the same, so that we collectively maintain high standards while keeping our system efficient and competitive. Singapore will also continue to work closely with our international counterparts to deter and enforce against bad actors who operate across different jurisdictions.
Mr. Kenneth Leong.
Thank you, Speaker. Three excuses for the Minister. Given that Prince Group's scam operations were publicly documented by English language investigative media as early as February 2024, and even earlier in July 2022 in Chinese court notices, did MAS conduct any midterm reviews of DW Capital Holdings between 2018 and the US action in October 2025? And if not, why not? Second excuse. I thank the Minister for his metaphor. I think there are a lot of flies in the house. So as more cases of criminality associated with family offices that have been set up in Singapore have come to light, will the government start to work on the assumption that illicit money generated by scams and other cross-border crime has already penetrated Singapore? And therefore, will the government mandate enhanced due diligence on existing client relationships across all regulated financial sectors, not just new client onboarding? Third SQ, further to my previous question, will MAS require all existing 13O and 13U tax incentive holders and not just new applicants undergo mandatory rescreening?
Minister Chi.
Speaker, before I answer the questions, may I ask Mr. Tiong to clarify if the Workers' Party's position is that we should adopt a zero-risk approach, or would he agree with me that we should adopt a risk-proportionate approach, set high standards, but also maintain the efficiency and competitiveness of our financial system?
Mr. Tiong.
There's a pattern of ministers and political office holders asking very rhetorical zeros, you know, like rhetorical questions which have no meaning, which are
Mr. Tiong, you could just respond to him, to Minister.
So the answer is no, and I don't think it is the minister's point of view that you should in fact have a zero risk approach, because it's impossible. So he's asking a stupid question.
Minister Chi.
So I think it is not quite appropriate for Mr. Tiong to use the word stupid when we are having a discussion in this house. I ask him a question to clarify what is his position, and I respectfully ask him to withdraw that comment and to apologize.
Minister, Mr. Tiong.
I do withdraw that comment. I will maintain that that question is not a meaningful question. Thank you.
Minister Chi.
Mr. Speaker, I'm disappointed that Mr. Tiong chose to conduct this discussion in this manner. I only wanted to clarify the position so that I can give him a considered response. And, you know, earlier, some of his other colleagues, including Mr. Pritam Singh, the leader of the opposition, said that the Workers' Party will be a responsible opposition party. And I hope Mr. Tiong bear that in mind in our future discourse. So I thank the Workers' Party, Mr. Tiong, for agreeing with me that we should not adopt a zero-risk approach. I think that's the key point that I wanted to clarify. So he could have just said that and not add on all the other additional comments. So if we agree with that, that we is not practical to adopt a zero-risk approach, then I think we can take a look at then what are some of the moves that we can make to maintain high standards on one hand. That's important. We want to remain a trusted financial centre and at the same time remain efficient and competitive. Having high standards is not at odds with being efficient and competitive. If Mr. Tiong believes that being inefficient, being overly cumbersome, adopting a zero-risk approach, being overly risk-averse is the right way to go, I think if we follow his advice, our financial hub status is at risk. We need to take a risk-proportionate, calibrated approach, just like all other major international financial centres. Maintain high standards, deter bad actors, take action against them when we discover wrongdoings. No doubt about that. That is our position. But at the same time, welcome genuine investors, legitimate family offices who want to set up and grow our financial services industry here and create jobs for our people. That is the approach that Singapore wants to take. Now, with regard to the first SQ from Mr. Tiong, the reports that have surfaced, I mentioned in my main reply that the banks have also been taking action in monitoring the situation, and we do reject some of the applications, and some of them, they withdrew after we asked questions, the banks asked questions. And there's also a system whereby the financial institutions would file suspicious transaction reports, or what they call STRs. And this was something that the banks, the financial institutions, have been doing earlier. But we need to bear in mind that STRs on their own do not equate to offences being committed. It is just a suspicious transaction that is being highlighted. So for the police would have to take a look at these early signals, and including the STRs that are filed, and conduct further inquiries on their own, including looking at financial intelligence that they have picked up. And this is what the police had done. They have also worked with their foreign counterparts to gather further information on the case, because, as I mentioned in my main reply, this case involves not just Singapore, but many other jurisdictions. And after the news broke in October 2025, SPF reached out to international counterparts to gather more information on criminality with nexus with Singapore to further its investigations, and then took action on 30th of October, as I mentioned in my main reply. Mr. Tiong also asked, I think he made a comment that there are many flies in the house. I don't know which house Mr. Tiong is referring to, but as far as we are aware, the House of Singapore, we do not have many flies. I mentioned earlier that the SFOs that are involved in money laundering and are convicted for money laundering represent less than 1%. So if we accept that we do not want to have zero risk, and we accept that when we open the windows to let in sunlight and fresh air, that there will be some flies, I think less than 1%, to me, doesn't mean that there are many, many flies in this house. And I also mentioned that when we detect those flies, we'll deal with them firmly. I think that is the key. Not to aim for zero, not to go for zero risk, but when we detect any cases of wrongdoing, when we detect any flies, we go for them. We take a firm enforcement approach. MES will continue to review our rules and our procedures. I think Mr. Tiong is mistaken that we only do the checks at the point of application and not on an ongoing basis. I mentioned earlier that the banks do file STRs, and we are also in the process of reviewing what our rules should be so that we are able to maintain high standards, we are able to deter bad actors from wanting to come to Singapore, and importantly, maintain our competitiveness as a financial centre.